I want to apologize. I do not have a PowerPoint for you today. So I did not get to the point where I could put one together. So I hope that my lesson will come across easily understood. I hope you can follow along with me. Thank you for being here today. As every first day of the week, we all gather together. Such a blessing to be able to gather with Christians of like faith. So when we think about this time of year, as Brother Dan has brought to us this morning in his reading and in his comments, that this is a religious, the world makes this a religious holiday. And I'm not going to focus so much on what today, but what about next year? Each and every day for us should be important in the way that we should want to serve God. So I want us to think about what we're going to do starting next Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week, which is the first day of the new year. And many of us, I'm sure, have made some New Year's resolutions. That's the common thing to do this time of year, is to plan on next year and see how we can improve upon our jobs or our health or our lives in some way or another. And so, and I'll say I have some New Year's resolutions. I'm not going to tell you what they are because I'll probably not be able to achieve them. But think about your New Year's resolutions. What do they involve? Are they about you personally in a physical sense? Are they about your jobs? Are they about your homes, your lifestyles, your health, your physical health? I think we can all safely say that we can improve upon ourselves somewhere, somehow, spiritually. And so that's what I want to try to bring to you this morning and also this afternoon. They are two individual lessons, but they go hand in hand. So they will be upon trying to be successful in the new year spiritually. We all want to strive to be successful in our careers, and that's the way the world has a sense of success is, you know, how much do you have? How much money can you make? What kind of things can you buy? What kind of car do you drive? Or how high can you reach in the corporate ladder? That's the way the world determines success a lot of times. But I think, I know, more importantly than that is our spiritual success. How high can we go? Hopefully we all strive to reach the highest, and that is a home in heaven with the Lord someday. So the topic of my lesson this morning is five firsts for success. And first is the key word there, five firsts for success. The devil himself tries to confuse our loyalties, minimize our obligations to God, makes things very tempting, and tries to get us to forfeit these blessings that we have been given. We see in Genesis where the first temptation there with Eve and being able to know right from wrong, and the devil just tempts us in so many ways. He seeks to divide our devotions, raise our doubts about our faith, deny the benefits of being faithful to God. We should have a faith that is without doubt. As we see in James chapter 1, we should have that undoubting faith. We can withstand Satan and succeed, but not on our own. We've got to have God's help. We are fighting a spiritual warfare, but in order to win this battle, we've got to put on the whole armor of God, as we see in Ephesians chapter 6. We have to be going into this prepared. We have to take what is good and necessary before God. We have to take justice, mercy, humility in our preparation. We have to be ready. So with those things, including these five firsts that I have here, we can obtain spiritual success. So the first one, give God the first hour of each day. when we wake up of a morning, we should be focusing on our Lord and Savior. We should be focusing on what we, how we are to act, what we are to do. But if we give God that first hour, and if we go to Him in prayer, we can do this independently, just as we see that Jesus did. He prayed in solitary. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Mark chapter 1 and there in verse 35. See, this says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." If Jesus needed some quiet alone time to pray, we do too. We should have that one-on-one where we can focus on our prayer to God. Doing this will help us to avoid anxieties. We've got in Philippians chapter 4, it says to be anxious for nothing, not to be stressing too much. We pray to God to remember others, those that we want to pray for, that need our prayers. It helps us to trust and hope in God each day, because we focus upon Him the very first thing we get up. And it helps us to be thankful. All these things we remember in our prayers, we can put all of our burdens upon Him. He will ease our burdens. He will ease our minds. He will ease the stress of the day even before it begins. First Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2 tells us to pray without ceasing. This should be continual. Now we know we can't pray nonstop, but we understand the meaning of that is we should always be going to God in prayer. Always. We find that by reading God's Word, if we can open up our Bibles in the first part of the day and we read from God's Word, it has such a great strengthening effect on our life. We may learn something new. It provides spiritual values for us. We have the daily Bible readings in our bulletin. Maybe some of you, your New Year's resolution is to try to read the Bible all the way through, starting with January 1. Maybe some of you, you'll be doing this for the second, third, 10th time. But the daily readings are there, and we can get something out of each and every one of them. And that helps us to get on a schedule if that's what we need to get started. But if we open God's Word, we will grow. We will be strengthened. It will help us each and every day. So in this first hour, we also need to meditate. We need to really focus on what we're set to do that day, how we're to live our life, how we're to be a good example. It helps us set our path away from sin, to know what our direction is. It helps us to get away from some sinful influences. Maybe it makes us reconsider something that we had scheduled for the day and now we need to change our plans. And it helps us meditate on God. A second first, which is kind of a different saying. The second first is the first day of every week. We need to give God the first day of every week. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says not to forsake the assembly. We are told to attend with Christians of like faith, and there's many benefits from this. But we give God the first day of the week to worship. Now in Acts, if you will turn with me to Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read verse 7 there. Acts 20 and in verse 7 says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." That first day of the week was dedicated. And in this example we have, the whole day was dedicated to God, to worship. Paul preached until midnight. That's not commanded of us today, but worship is. We are to worship. And so by giving God that first day of the week, we can do this. But there's some factors that come into this. How can we worship on the first day of the week? How can we do this successfully? First of all, we have to come here with no unreconciled troubles. What I mean by that? In Matthew chapter 5, we'll read verses 23 and 24. Jesus here says to reconcile with your brethren. We need to reconcile any troubles first. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." We can't focus on God if we have something that's weighing us down. We need to come to worship with a clear and honest heart, with nothing that really distracts us. We have to reconcile our troubles. We're a family, there shouldn't be any issues with that. We also need to examine our purposes. What is our purpose? We have to direct any or correct any issues we may have ourselves before we assemble to worship. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. We need to examine ourselves. We have to also cleanse our hearts and our conduct. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. We need to have clear and honest hearts to give a good worship, to be able to worship God in an acceptable manner. James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4, and there in verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." We have to make sure we come through these doors each and every first day of the week prepared to worship. Have our hearts and our minds set upon what the task of the day is, to give ourselves to God. We also come on the first day of the week to encourage brethren. We must let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We're reading Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. We're here to help build up one another, edify one another. When we come through these doors and we sit and have worship services, when the attendance is down, we can tell. We can see that, and there may be reasons for it, and there may not be a good reason for it, but we come to help encourage one another by having multiple of like-minded people, multiple people here. It helps encourage us. We're here for edification of one another. We're here to teach and admonish one another, as we see in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. We grow in strength and knowledge by assembling together with brethren. That's the first day of the week. That's worship. That's to be here amongst everyone. The third first is give God the first portion of our prosperings, of our paycheck. This is different for everyone. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is according to our success. This is according to how we've been prospered. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2 says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. This isn't a standard. This isn't everybody's got to do the same, because not everyone is capable of doing the same, and it's not required of us. But it is required for us to lay by in store. It is a commandment that we do upon each and every first day of the week. And if we focus on that, we give bountifully, not sparingly, because we will reap what we sow. If we focus on those kind of things, some of us have more that we can provide. And when we talk about here in giving and laying by in store, this helps the church continue to grow. It helps spread the gospel. It allows us to reach, hopefully, unsaved souls and lead them to Christ. It's a good work. By giving upon the first day of the week, it also helps us keep a proper perspective on life and things. We focus on what we should give, and not just what's left over. If we're keeping that in the forefront of our mind, then it won't be just, this is all I got left, or this is all, until next week. Early on, I had multiple people when I was getting jobs, and even being, as a child, you'd hear several people say, pay yourself first. Make sure you pay yourself first. Talking about savings or retirement. Those are all good things. They really are. But where does that put you? Does that put you first before God? Maybe it's just the way you see it, but God should be a first in everything we do. So give to God, then we can give to ourselves. Then we can take care of ourselves. If we give to God and give him our faith, he'll take care of us. He'll help. A couple of things this avoids by setting this perspective. It keeps us from being prideful. We don't become dependence on our wealth as much. So we understand where our position is and what we're able to do. But our true security is in God. We should give purposefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There in verse 7. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We are to have this made up. We are to have this already thought through before we come through these doors. This should be what we feel in our heart is appropriate for our means, our abilities. And this is what will be pleasing and acceptable unto the Lord. Those things that we give. Puts our heart set up on the house or the church of God. Allows us to give willingly. Nobody's forcing us to do it. Nobody's saying you have to do this or you have to do that. This is all upon us and how we feel and how we should be willing to give and be acceptable with a devoted heart. We need to give cheerfully, as we see there also in verse 7 at the end of that. God loves a cheerful giver. This should make us happy to want to give back. This should please us, give us a good feeling. Not because we gave a certain amount and I'm giving more than someone else. but because it's God is pleased with our heart, our true intentions. It makes us thankful. We're good stewards of what God has blessed us with. The fourth first thing to consider. Give God the first consideration in every decision we make. Give God the first consideration in every decision we make. Make sure our priorities are firmly established. Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about tomorrow. Matthew chapter 6, there are verses 33 and 34. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. How often do we stress out about what's going on next week or even tomorrow? But, you know, how busy are we? Do I have time to do this? Do I have time to do that? Brethren, we may not make it to tomorrow. We may not make it to next week. We may not make it next year. January 1 may never arrive. But if we put God first, we make God our priority, our first priority, then we've established that in our hearts. We've established that in all of our decision making. It's total commitment. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. It's total commitment to the Lord. Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. This is a full commitment. Now, we do have responsibilities to take care of our families. This is an abandonment of our responsibilities. This is commitment to the Lord. This is considering him first in every decision we have. This allows us to seek a goal. We find out something that we need to do. We seek it, just as we see here in that parable. We set a commitment to succeed. We have to lay out groundwork. We have to lay out planning. And then we have to sustain. We have to endure. Colossians chapter 3, if you'll turn with me there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We have this endurance. We set our minds upon the things above, we will succeed. We will have spiritual success. But we have to have a plan, and we have to put God first in every decision we make. M- my fifth first and my last first is give God the first place in your heart. This is a decision of faith. Decide to believe. Decide to have faith in the life, death, and the resurrection of Christ. We must give God the first place in our heart. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3 and verse 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We need to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our mind and all of our soul. It's a decision of faith. We have to believe. We have to be willing to believe. And with this belief, God will have a place in our heart. We have to have action of love. We see in John chapter 14, verse 15, it tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Our actions, as we walk upon this earth, will show our love for Christ, show our love for God. In Matthew chapter 22, there in verse 37, Matthew chapter 2, verse 37 says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In verse 38, thus is the first and great commandment. This is the first and great commandment. Putting God first in our heart will show in our actions and our love. We put God first in our heart by a sacrifice for our earthly life, this eternal life. Paul gave up everything for Christ. He left his old lifestyle. He gave it all up. As we would say, at the drop of a hat. Now, we could do the same, depending on our circumstances. But we can put God first, and everything else can come second. And we can still live in this world. We have to be in this world. We don't have to be of the world. But Paul gave everything up. There in Matthew chapter 19, turn back just a few chapters. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. So now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17 says, and he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. We do God's will. We keep his commandments. We put God first in our hearts. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, there verses 7 and 8. This is, again, that I mentioned is Paul, just the way he sacrificed everything. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says, but what things were gained to me, things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ. Paul didn't regret the decision he made. He gave it all. But he also knew that he was going to be rewarded very well, greater than he could ever imagine. The determination of hope. We also must have a living hope in order to put God first in our heart. A living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1. There in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We show this living hope in our everyday walks of life. Skip down to verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We have a living hope. We see the example of Jesus' resurrection. It gives us hope that we will be resurrected in the final days. So how are we going to be successful? How are these five things going to lead us to success in our spiritual life? By drawing closer to God. Going to bring us closer to him. We're going to give God the first hour of our day. If we give God the first day of the week, we give God the first of our paychecks that we have been prospered. We give him the first consideration in every decision. And we give God the first place in our heart. We will have success. We will have spiritual success. You will not regret it. All of these first, if you make these part of your life, part of your New Year's resolution, it will not be a regret. And in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Dan read that this morning, of being a living sacrifice. Turn over to Romans chapter 12, there in verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I didn't tell Dan what my sermon was about when he chose to read that this morning. I do appreciate it. But that sums it up. Give yourselves to God each and every day. But if you start with these five firsts, it'll set you on a path to success. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your great attention. I hope this lesson has reached someone. I hope you were able to follow along. I hope it was easily understood. We now want to offer you a chance to start your success off. The first step in this successful career of being a servant for God. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you feel the need to obey through primary obedience, the baptistry is ready. It's always ready. We're ready to accept you. God is ready to accept you. If you're here and for whatever reason there's something that stands between you and God right now and you can take care of that at your seat, now's the time. You don't want to leave here and not be reconciled with the Lord. If you need prayers of the congregation, we're here for you for that too. I've mentioned this several times that we are a family and there shouldn't be any hesitation to ask for help from your family. If there's anything we can do to help you, we invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.